One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What's going on, everybody, and thank you all so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I'm not at this alone. I'm not just sneaking through the darkness solo. Big Fizzy's here.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios on a sweltering, burning hot afternoon,
bro,
in Central North Texas. Boy, it has been a nice, cool summer all summer long, but the last couple weeks have been brutal. Today, I think it's going to be like 109. It's what it is right now. It's terrible. You can't do anything. I had to change a flat tire the other day, 2 days ago, and it was like 106. And dude, I was roasting.
Trying to get down on the... Tell me you weren't on the pavement.
I was on the pavement.
Oh, bro.
I mean, they just pulled off the pavement.
Yeah.
So I just bought 4 new tires. Yes, the joys of owning automobiles.
Yep. When are we going to invent run flats for like everyday people?
They invented them a long time ago. They just, there's no money in it.
Exactly.
That's why they don't, I'm 100% serious.
We need those. We need
Don't you think like the Humvees and stuff in war, I'm pretty sure those tires are,
they're
bulletproof, right?
They look like a honeycomb in those tires.
I was just talking to you the other day off air. I watched a recent, we were talking about movies that don't hold up, and I watched the one with Chuck Norris. Now I can't even think of the name of it. Do you remember what movie we were talking about?
The Chuck Norris film? You were talking about Missing in Action.
Missing in Action, that's it. I wanted to say Mission Impossible.
And I brought up Lone Wolf McQuade. Yeah. Then we started talking about The Octagon, and then it just...
Oh, my God. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, Missing in Action, but boy, is it bad. There was one scene in particular. He's in a rubber dinghy with an outboard motor on it. There's like, I don't know, 50 people shooting at him. I'm like, not one bullet hit the boat?
So I don't, when I see movies like that, I have to think that those are the forefathers to like the stormtroopers in Star Wars.
I mean, I thought the movie was awesome as a kid. What's crazy is grown adults thought it was awesome. Like, movies were just different then.
Yeah.
You know, he's got an Uzi and he's hitting people 100 yards away. I mean, like, people don't really realize.
Do you think it was because it was new ideas? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think it was a bunch of people on coke got together and wrote a script and they were like, let's do it. I did. I always wanted a pair of the Chuck Norris Century blue jeans. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
It had the patch so you could do leg kicks.
Stretchable kick. I'm sure somebody out there listening had a pair. I wished I had a pair.
I begged my mom. We used to get them in Black Belt magazine.
That's it.
But my mom would never go for it because I think they were like $100. You know, and back then jeans were like $20.
The jeans you bought were $15 a pair. That was the pair.
You're talking about my Jerbos or my Z Cavaricci's or which ones?
The Wranglers that we wore.
I had some of those too. I remember my aunt worked for Panhandle Slim. As a seamstress.
Yes.
And she used to make me handmade shirts, and I hated them back then.
You'd take them all
now. Now I'd be like all day. Pearl snaps, hook me up.
Bring them on. So we've been down here battling the heat. We've got some wild stories we're looking to share. And you said you had some wild, wacky fun for us today.
Yeah, I was looking at, when we were doing the shows about the flying humanoids and stuff, there was a spillover of extra stories that I didn't get to talk about. And I thought that I would talk about some of those here and before we get going with the show.
Yeah.
You know, the segment of the show is going to be more missing people, mysterious disappearances and things like that. But the Owlman. I remember we did a whole episode on Owlman. You know, it's similar to the Mothman, things like that, whether it's flying humanoids, whether it's gargoyles. There's lots of different categories.
Great cartoon.
And I love them. I think they're pretty cool. In 1969 in England, there was a witness named Jackie Hartley. That, and he claimed that he had a strange experience when he was traveling from London to Tunbridge Wells in Kent, along with his father and mother in their family car. Now, Hartley was apparently riding in the back seat when he heard a screeching sound, Cam, and he looked out to see a rather otherworldly monster. He would say that Mom and Dad were in the front chatting and heard nothing. It was twilight. And as I looked out the back window into the trees, I saw what could only be described as a monster. It had bat wings, which it unfolded and stretched out before folding back up again. The thing had red eyes and a kind of monster monkey face with a parrot's beak and was about 3 feet in height. To my four-year-old mind, it was terrifying, and I had nightmares for weeks. I did not have a name for this thing in my vocabulary, so I called it the bat-winged monkey bird.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about sightings of the bat-winged monkey bird before, because it's a combination of so many different creatures. It's part bat. It also resembles a monkey. It has a beak like a parrot.
I love it.
But this wasn't Hartley's only encounter with the thing. So you're like, well, he's 4 years old. He probably imagined it. No, he had multiple sightings over the course of his life. And his most current one was in 2006. And on 2006, he said it was around 4:30 in the morning. I was woken by this strange, horrible screeching sound. Now thinking it was someone being murdered in the street, I jumped up out of bed and ran to the window, catching the tail end of this thing as it flew past. I instantly knew what it was. It was the same horrible monster thing that I had seen all those years ago. It was the darned bat-wing monkey bird. And I knew it was back. And he says, although the creature looked solid flesh and blood and made an awful sound, I think it's something paranormal in origin, as I've never seen or read about anything that even vaguely remembers this thing. But if it is real and physical, I would love to know if anyone else has seen it.
The bat-winged monkey bird.
I know that if I was in England, I'm going to be looking out for that. That would be very cool. If you're out there in England listening to the show and you have any friends or yourself have seen the bat-winged monkey bird, please send those stories to expandedperspectives@yahoo.com.
And we don't get a lot of stories of like 3 foot tall flying things.
That's what I like about it is that it's 3 foot tall. Because most of the time, what is it? Everybody over exaggerates.
7, 8 footers.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right?
They're huge.
Everything. Doesn't matter if it's Sasquatch. It's always people over-exaggerating the size of things. So I like it when there are smaller-like creatures. It makes it seem more like a gargoyle. Like, why?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe gargoyles are on buildings. You know, they put them there to ward off evil spirits and stuff. But maybe it's a representation of something that was physical and something that people actually saw.
Yeah.
All, you know, many, many years ago.
Like, monkeys wouldn't be terrifying enough if they were, like, taking over, but with them flying?
You know, I'll admit this. As a kid, I was scared of the monkeys on The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
The flying ones.
Yes.
I know it's terrible. The graphics are terrible. The, you know, the props and stuff, you could tell they're obviously on
ropes
and stuff.
Yeah, but you were a child
when
you
saw it, right? Like, 4 or 5 years old, that was terrifying.
Yeah, it was a little slightly unsettling.
Yeah.
But look at all the stuff that we had with, like, Sid and Marty Croft. You go back and look at all the H.R. Puffin stuff or all the things from McDonald's. You look at all that old stuff. It was unsettling when you look
back
at it,
right? Yeah, the Hamburglar.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Grimace.
Yeah.
Grimace.
What was that? Just a big purple blob, right?
That's all it was. Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. Maybe it was supposed to be like grape sherbet. I have no clue what that stuff was. Look.
So, hold on, I'm not done.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the Owl Man, you know, is a typical, you've done shows on it. We've done shows on it.
The Owl Man. What is it, Manwan?
Yeah, man, yep. That seems to be like England's version of the Mothman. Over here in the States, we don't have as many Owl Man sightings. There have been a few, but most of the sightings are like Mothman-esque or gargoyles or giant thunderbirds, you know. And they've been seen in almost every state. I know Texas has a lot of thunderbird sightings, but Pennsylvania, for some reason, seems to have the most. And these things vary. Some of them are large, dark brown and black feathered, you know, huge birds. Other times they're black, leathery skinned and featherless, giant bat-like creatures. Yeah. Sometimes they're gargoyle-like. Sometimes they're Mothman-like. Sometimes they're even like pterosaurs. Like, people believe that they see a dinosaur that shouldn't exist today.
Yeah.
But they see it. It even has diamond-shaped configurations on the end of its tails, just like a pterosaur would. So you're always wondering, if people could see ghosts, why couldn't they see the ghost of an animal that once existed? So is that like a dinosaur ghost? I don't know. But this these sightings aren't from a long time ago. It's not from decades ago. These are currently happening right now. I mean, here is a bunch of sightings that have taken place just this year in Pennsylvania. Check this one out. This happened on January 28th of this year. And this it says dairy side of Chestnut Ridge, which is in Westmoreland County, at around 7:30 a.m., the witness looked out a window and observed a huge white bird standing on the ground next to a tree. It was several feet tall and had a wingspan of about 12 feet. There appeared to be a black elongated crest on its head. The witness also noticed that the creature had a black beak. The creature began to flap its wings and appeared to be having trouble rising from the ground. It finally rose above the trees and moved out of sight. The total observation was about 30 seconds. This area of the Chestnut Ridge is in southwestern Pennsylvania and has a long history of Bigfoot, cryptids, thunderbirds, and even UFO counters. But here's another one from this year. March 12th, 2024, Harrisburg suburb in Dauphin County. The witness was driving through the area at about 3 p.m. and was approaching a traffic light at an intersection. The sky was clear and blue at the time. While the driver was stopped at the red traffic light and looking up at it, an exceptionally large bird was observed. The witness estimated the creature had a wingspan of at least 20 feet, tip to tip. Wow. When first observed, the monstrous bird was estimated to be about 80 to 100 feet overhead and gliding. The giant bird appeared to be black in color. The windshield view was blocking some of the sections of its body, such as the head and tail. The driver said they looked back at the red light and then looked back at the bird. The bird suddenly opened up its wings, giving an impression of a large drape. According to the witness, it had feather, shiny scallops, all on an all-black background. It says it had some white feathers about halfway down the scallops. The witness was certain that the wingspan could cover two sides of the road. Here's another one. March 21st, Pittsburgh area in Allegheny County. This witness observed a huge bird around 4:30 p.m., about 100 yards away and about 50 feet above the ground. The witness was driving at the time when he spotted an exceptionally large black bird with an estimated 10 to 12 foot wingspan. It dropped down to the height of a telephone pole and moved toward the Dash Shields Lock and Dam on the Ohio River. It appeared to have loose plumage along the back section of the wings. They were red. What does this say? And they were red. The driver of the vehicle was driving on Route 66 and made a sharp turn to the right heading south. It was about 4:45 p.m. when he observed this huge black or dark-colored bird. And they go on and on. I mean, here's one as recently as June, where somebody in Fayette County reported seeing an exceptionally large, odd-looking bird in a rural location. Now, all these are odd, giant birds.
Like the Thunderbird
sightings.
Like the sightings.
Thunderbird. And I have a cousin who was
hunting. We've all got cousins.
And, well, this one, I know, well, maybe not everybody, but this particular one was hunting in Alaska, and he said that he saw a ginormous bird. And he's like, man, I don't know what it was. But he's like, I watched it for a while, like 30 minutes.
And he's been
now,
up
he
there.
Wasn't saying it was 20 foot.
No, but he did say it was
8
huge.
Foot tall, but he was like, it's the biggest bird I've ever seen. And he couldn't identify what type of bird. Like he said, it wasn't a bald eagle. It wasn't a golden eagle. It was something different. So I know that a lot of people in New Mexico, West Texas, Southwest Texas, Arizona, whatever reason, that area has a lot of sightings.
But that's the exact opposite.
Birds.
Of like rural Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, this is more desert
totally
dry.
Different.
And then you take rural Pennsylvania, you're like, dude, it looks nothing the same.
But why are some of the sightings that are of feathered birds, other ones they're like leathery skin, you know, or is because, is it, Kyle, it's that way because these are different things? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and it's like we've discussed, if it's, you know, like they tend to believe now that they had feathers. It wasn't all skin, right?
Some of them, right? I've been yelled at by several listeners.
So maybe that's it. Maybe the few that had the, you know what I mean? Like it's a mix of both.
But maybe there's a parallel world because they talk about the multiverse. And
man.
In a parallel world, dinosaurs are still there. They didn't go extinct. And somehow it bleeds through for a few seconds.
Their time is going on at the exact same time as ours right now. It's just like a stack of records. All the songs are still there. They're just all playing at different speeds, right? Or having different lyrics and all of this. And every now and again, it bleeds over.
Yeah, you know, you talk about people doing these incredible shroom experiments, LSD experiments, DMT, and then they see these machine elves,
yep,
and creatures that shouldn't exist. It often makes me wonder is if these machine elves or whatever, these Dwendi, are on the other side in the parallel dimensions. They're on an LSD trip, and that's why we see them in our world. And they're freaked out because they always talk about how they're like, why can you see me? Or what am I looking at? Right? But maybe it's
like a stoned Dwendi and a stoned dude over here.
Well, they have little pipes. What's in that pipe?
That's true. Maybe why are they always digging around? What's in that crock?
I don't know. The one in the jar. The jar?
Crock?
Maybe it's something else. It's a secret stash. That's why they were mad when the guy dug it up. That's
the devil's lettuce, the jazz cabbage is what's hiding in there.
Well, who knows what's in there?
The DM tizzle. And next thing you know, you're hanging out with machine elves.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty wild. That would be very wild.
Yeah.
Hey, but look, I don't know how you would explain it because we know there's not giant birds in Pennsylvania.
No. That's what I'm saying. It's much like Bigfoot. How come we never find these skeletons of a giant bird? You know, you'd find them.
Or how about giant feathers? How come we don't have 3 foot long feathers laying around? Like, first of all, I think that would be more unsettling. Could you imagine being in the woods or just like at a park or at your local, like at your property or anywhere in your town, walk around and all of a sudden you find a feather?
It's like the size of a boat oar?
Yeah, yeah. You're talking one that's like a yardstick, just a feather. You'd be like, hold on. Hold on a second.
That's a good point, though, right? That's why it's much like Bigfoot. I don't know.
Would you turn it in or would you turn it into a pin? Or would you fletch your arrow with it?
I'd make some flu-flu arrows with it. I'd stick part of it out of the left side of my hat.
Yeah, right.
And you can do all kinds of stuff.
Make a pan out of it. If it's a 3-footer, you got plenty of it left over.
Do stuff for fanning sage when I'm saging my house. I sage my house all the time because when I'm researching all this
you
stuff,
need to.
I don't want these evil spirits following
you
me
need
home.
To. He buys it sage by the bale. That's what he gets. Hey, I got something that's not near as creepy.
Okay.
This is actually a rescue that was performed, all right, by like a paranormal or unknown cryptid. A rescue. A Malaysian youth was rescued by a mermaid. Now I'm going to try to
pronounce this. I like the story. So everybody knows that listens to the show that I don't like sea monsters for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But well, first of all, it's not a mystery. We know that there's monsters in the ocean, right? So it's not a mystery.
Facts. Big facts.
But I like the stories of the mermaids. For whatever reason, I like the mermaid sightings. I think it's cool. Maybe it's because it's just like a romantic idea.
I think that's what gets me every time with it too, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I picture early explorers, Polynesians and stuff, and there's be like mermaids out there.
I like to picture the same idea as them, like you're creeping up or like you're sneaking along and you come through the jungles and like there's this big, beautiful little bay area and you look out there and there's like 3 or 4 out there swimming in the bay. You're like, wait a minute. What the heck?
Yeah, I like the idea of like you're about to hit a reef and you don't know it, and the mermaids come and they let you know, like, hey.
Or do you also like the idea like you're out and it's a dark and there's like a fog settled and there's no wind and you hear singing and you look over the side and then you just plummet down to the arms of your love and she drags you to the deep. Do you like that idea too?
No, I don't think I like that idea. That sounds creepy.
So
but I like the stories. Continue.
This
mermaid saved somebody.
A Malaysian youth at this beach. Now, you ready for me to try to pronounce a Malaysian beach?
Yes, please.
Tanjung Aru.
I ordered that one time at P.F. Chang's. It was probably pretty good. It was good.
Nice. So this is what it says here. This took place back in the late 1980s. This is basically I was alone playing with the sand. I was just building sandcastles. And somehow I was pulled by a huge wave. And then I started drowning. And while I was in the water, I saw a silhouette of a lady with long and curly hair swimming towards me. She basically grabbed me with one hand and I held on to her and saw that she had a fish tail instead of legs. Everything was happening super fast. I was back on the beach, gasping for air. I looked around. I saw my parents. They were oblivious to the fact that I had almost died.
Yeah, great parenting.
In the water, right? Was that my family?
Watch your kids when you're near water, folks.
Yeah, no. This occurred.
This was in the early 80s. I forgot. Yeah, people didn't parent like that then.
The late 80s.
Oh, late 80s. Well, they still didn't parent very well back then. Not like today.
And at the Tanjung Aru Beach in Kota. Oh, here we go, y'all. Yeah. Kinabalu, Malaysia?
Sure.
I'm not aware if she hurt me or not, but I assumed she saved me, and I don't remember feeling anything but relief. Now, she probably saw or stalked me even before I was swept away by the waves. It says here, I don't really remember the mermaid's face. All I can remember was she had long, bright, wavy hair, a fishtail instead of legs, and her upper body was definitely human. was bare-chested, and she was super fast. Now, I don't know if she was evil. All I know is she saved me, and if it weren't for her, I would have drowned. I like to think of her as my sea mother, wherever she is. I hope she's doing fine. Thanks, N.
That's crazy.
That's pretty wild, right?
Yeah, but because again, I've heard of several mermaid sightings in that part of the world for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. But then I'm going to switch gears real quick. And this gear switch is evil mermaids encountered in St. Vincent by the Grenadine waters by divers.
I was going to say she was questioning if it was evil. I didn't think the first one was evil. She helped you out.
That's
if it was
right.
Evil would have taken you
That's
away.
That's right.
This one definitely is evil though.
Oh yeah. The strange underwater and possibly evil mermaids are very much real. Having witnessed them once in my life, I can definitely testify to their existence. But they are not the pretty woman they are portrayed as. I'm living here in the Caribbean on the islands of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Back in 2015, on the 12th of January, a vehicle carrying school children lost control, going down a very steep hill, and plunged into the sea. Now it gets sad here, folks. They were 8 children were killed in that crash, 6 of which were recovered. When we, the villagers, got to the scene, the young people's bodies were floating in the water, so we put on our diving gear and jumped in to recover. 2 other men and I were trying to grab the bodies of one of the girls who happened to be my cousin. When one of the men got close enough to make a grab, there came this entity out of nowhere screaming angrily, yes, screaming, snarling and saying, "Don't touch her or else you'll see what would happen." This thing was pure evil. Its face was human. It had a Nigerian accent. Its body was colorful, and we were terribly scared. Now, the creature immediately grabbed the girl's body and took off at an amazing speed and then just disappeared. There were about 15 divers in the water. When we got to shore, we couldn't speak for over 2 hours, scared beyond imagination. When we told the people what happened, they said some of the other divers said they saw the exact same thing. The elders in the community began telling us stories about the same creatures from long ago, way before electricity came to our village. And they said the young people were a sacrifice. From that day, I never look at the ocean the same way again. I wish we had evidence to show what we saw. Waterproof phones and cameras weren't popular here back in 2015. So to this day, the other divers still talk about this. Now, I've stopped diving since it happened. We've been called all kinds of names, but I know what I saw and what I heard the creature say. Since then, I've been researching shapeshifters and things like that on the internet, and a lot of these things about the top have been leading me to Africa. Also, I've taken an interest in Nigerian movies where they show a lot of stuff about said topic. I know the frustration about not having evidence to support our claims. Now, up to this day, we haven't found those 2 girls' bodies. The Coast Guard searched for almost a month. We searched the rocky beaches for miles, for weeks. About a year ago, I had a couple of friends that went night fishing, and when we got to the beach in our area, we heard a noise almost like someone or something wailing in the water just offshore. It frightened us, and for almost a minute or two, we all just stood there. We could not move. Our water is rocky and shallow, and when I got home, I was scrolling through Facebook when I saw a video that had a guy that had posted somewhere on a fishing vessel experiencing the exact same sound. He was then visited by the CIA or something about this video. Thanks, K.
Wow.
So undoubtedly,
I think I know the video he or she is referring to.
Yeah.
I saw several videos a couple years ago where you could hear them, and they were like, "Look at them, they're swimming next to the boat."
Yep,
of course, you couldn't really see anything.
But you could hear something strange.
But you could hear something strange. Now, that could easily be faked.
That's true.
Sound effects and audition and other software like that. But I mean, it was pretty cool.
Stole a young person's body.
What is that?
Swim up, grab it, and took off, and was saying, "Don't touch it."
Was threatening them.
Threatening them. And look, I don't get in the ocean now. I saw something like that. Dude, I am 100%. I won't even drive down to the ocean anymore. I'll be like, that's it. Mermaids can't get me in my shower.
Speaking of getting you, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking about some more strange disappearances. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
All right. We are back. And like I said, man, I have got some interesting stuff to still talk to y'all about missing people. It's one of those things, look, it's a sad story, but everything like it, you know, upsets an entire family when you don't have closure. Like we always talk about, anything without closure is tough. But when they just vanish out from underneath people, just like they fell off the face of the earth, it's one thing, like we've always talked about, to go missing in woods. But when you go missing around people and nobody seems to know, when you know somebody does, that seems to be the worst thing. And here's another one. This actually happened April 1st of 2006, a man named Brian Schaefer. Now, Brian was a second-year medical student at Ohio State University, and he was in a nearby bar there by the university called the Ugly Tuna Saloon, and he had gone in there with some friends of his to celebrate a little spring break. They were getting ready for the coming of spring break.
Right.
They're going to go hard, right? So while he was there, some of his friends said that Schaefer was drinking. He was, drinking a lot, as well, his story goes, but you know, one person's idea of a lot, we already know how that goes with binge drinking. So he was drinking. They said at some point in time, his friends noticed he was over there. There was two pretty hot chicks over at the bar. So he's over there talking to them. You know, he's making a little time, pitching woo, if you will. So his friends, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And when he come back out of the bathroom, he's like, well, where'd Brian go? You know, he's gone. So that friend goes against the other friends, and they were there. And they said, when the bar closed, they all go outside, right? They're waiting right outside. Brian never shows up. They're waiting. Okay. So they're like, well, they didn't really think a whole lot of this. They're like, well, all right, he's partying. So they said that they figured that he had either, you know, had way too much to drink, the girls shut him down, and he just walked home upset, didn't talk to nobody, or that he had run into some other friends and gone to drink with him, right? So that was the party. So the following day, Brian is still nowhere to be found, and his truck was found still parked there by the apartment. And all the calls to his cell phone that all of his friends were making was going to voicemail. Nobody's answering.
Right.
All right. So they were like, huh. Well, they get a hold of the authorities. They're like, hey, look, something going on. So they come in. They go to the bar. They're like, hey, man, we need the security footage. I'm like, okay. Well, the footage that Brian, you can clearly see him entering the bar, but he's never seen to actually leave the bar. So out of the people that come and go, it's like he went in that bar, nothing. So the police are like, So they sit down, break it down, right? Mm-hmm. Go through every frame. I don't mean, I'm talking like click, 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 waiting to see anything of that footage. And they were able to identify every person
at the bar that night on camera. So everybody that they talked to, they're like, we know that one. We know that one. Everybody. But they never found Brian. Never saw him on video leave that bar. There was an apparently they have on this at this bar an emergency exit camera that they have there over there. I mean, it's the one that makes a noise, you know, when you open the door.
Yeah.
They have it right on that one, too. It turned up nothing. Nobody went out that door either. Nothing.
How's that possible?
I could not tell you. So they don't have any idea what's happening, right? So they're like, okay, how could he get through here and evade every one of these cameras? Like, this just doesn't make any sense. So they thought, well, somehow, even if he had managed to get through this bar undetected and get past all the security cameras and all this stuff, that some of these surveillance cameras around on the street would have seen him. So they went out to the surveillance cameras they have, you know, on outside of banks, things like that. They start pulling those up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. He's not on any of those. It was like he just evaporated. He was in that bar. Something happened. Poof, gone. It didn't make any sense. Nothing was making sense because of this. He was a very, basically, they said a very upstanding and outstanding medical student at this point. So it's not like he was struggling. It's not like that. His friends were pretty much like, man, I don't know about all this, you know, and I'm going to get into why they were kind of real leery to say maybe he tried to take his own life. You know, maybe he was trying to vanish. And I'm going to get into why. He had already been planning to ask his girlfriend to marry him, the one that he was with. He's over there. So I'm guessing who knows why he was talking to the chicks, but he's apparently planning on marrying this one girl. I don't know if she was there with him or not, but they were going during spring break. He'd already got tickets to go to Miami with her. Now, 3 weeks before this, him vanishing, his mother passes away. She died of cancer 3 weeks before Brian vanished. So all of his friends said that he was holding up really, really well. Like he was, I guess being a medical student, you kind of come to terms with that early in your career. Something you kind of have to do is, you know, okay, I know what the next steps are. This is what's going to happen. You kind of brace yourself for it. So they said that he was not depressed or suicidal in any way, even that. Already making plans, wanting to ask this woman to marry him, the whole thing. He's vanished. So you jump to 2000 in May, okay? In May of 2006. So what, a month later,
right.
Somebody broke into his apartment. Well, of course, the cops leap at this because they're like, okay, here we go. Something's going on. Maybe it's Brian breaking back in. You know, maybe he's been just laying low. You know what's going on? No, nothing. Completely unrelated. Completely. Well, Brian's father, of course, being the father, is eat up with this whole deal. And he never, never gives up at all. And he himself searches the Olentangy River there for the remains and never finds anything. So he's diving. He's having other divers come in. He searches up and down trying to find maybe something happened. They don't know. In 2008, in a freak accident, Brian's father is killed. Yeah, so 2 years after his son goes missing, Brian's father's killed. The last surviving member of this whole entire family, it was Brian's little brother. He's still alive. Now, the detectives involved in this case, they do not believe Brian left on his own. They think, but they don't really speculate. Of course, you know, most detectives, you can't get them to, right?
Yeah.
They don't go crazy. They don't speculate on the disappearance. They only like to work off the facts. But one thing that they all agree on is they don't believe he left on his own. And in the wake, they say, of this vanishing that leads to all this crazy stuff, there were some leads that come in. One of them said that Brian had slipped out and got a flight, left all of his stuff and flew. He's been living in Sweden, living and working in Sweden, just abandoned everything. Another one, they claimed that it was in the Virgin Islands, that somebody had seen him down there in the Virgin Islands, just living down there in a little house or whatnot. All of this stuff, nothing. Nope, nothing. All seemed to be hoaxes. So much so that they had sent people to investigate these leads later on because they wanted to know, where did Brian go? To this day, there's no clue as to where Brian went, how he vanished, who was with him when he vanished, nothing. It was like he was in that bar and fell through a wormhole, fell through a time slip, a time veil, something, and is no longer there. I mean, they have visual, you know, accounting of him coming in, but never leaving.
That, It doesn't make sense.
No, as a human being, you cannot wrap your head around it. So, like I said, man, nobody seems to know where he came from. I said, where he went.
It's like they disappeared in thin air.
Yeah, it really is. It's like he just, a hole opened up in the floor and he fell down in it. Ninja Turtles got him in the bathroom. I don't know what happened, man. At a loss. Hey, I got to ask you about somebody here. And this starts into our next one. Louis LaPrince. You know who Louis LaPrince is, Philly?
No idea.
Louis LaPrince was born August 28th, 1841. And he vanished September 16th of 1890. Louis was a French inventor, and he shot the very first moving pictures on paper film using a single lens camera.
Beast.
Yeah. He's actually been called the father of cinematography. Now, he was born in Metz, France, like I said, in 1841, in August. And the inventor, with background in photography, of course, in chemistry, that's what he did. Seems like all those people lived back in the day. That was pretty awesome. In 1881, he moved to America, okay? Mm-hmm. And he began experimenting with, at the time, they were called moving picture machines. So he goes to playing around with those. October 14th of 1888, 7 years later, he has this epiphany and he breaks out of the shell. He's like, look, I have recorded a moving piece of film. The whole thing only lasts 2.11 seconds. And it captures Adolfo LaPrince, Louis's son, and Louis's mother-in-law, Sarah Robinson Whitley, Joseph Whitley, and Harriet Hartley, all of them walking in a garden for 2.11 seconds. That's what it captured. That's how it started. Of course, now you got to think back. If it was going down today, nobody cares, right? Everybody's like, 2.11 seconds, that's a joke. It's not even a Vine video, right? You know what I'm talking about, going that whole deal. But this was before Thomas Edison or the Lumineer brothers. Nobody had done anything like this, all right? Nothing had been seen like this. So he'd already been granted patents on 16 lens devices and a single lens type. So Louis got really into motion pictures. Really into him. Now, on September 16th of 1890, Louis vanishes and was never seen again. Now, Louis promised that he was going to join up some friends in Paris and was going to return journey to England. That was his game plan. But they, you know, of course, now you've got to imagine, it's hard to even wrap your heads around this. Everybody had to live off of a clock. That's the only, everybody, you know, is your time set the same as my time? All right, we'll both all meet back here like we used to do as kids. Now, you go to Six Flags or whatnot, we were kids. Everybody has to be back here at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
That was the plan. Always watching your watch. So you got to imagine that. There was an appointed time that he and his friends had set. And even some family members, all of this. Louis never arrived at this point. So you're like, oh, well, we just didn't want to go. You know, how are you going to get a hold of him?
Mm-hmm.
That's not quite that easy. The last sighting of him was on board a train. Yeah. Now, he was going from Dijon, the Dijon platform. No luggage and no corpse was found on this Dijon to Paris train.
Okay.
Nor was it found along the railway, like he had just jumped off and ran off in the woods. It was never found. Now, Scotland Yard and the French police both got involved, and they turned the train upside down, and they started from one end of the tracks to where they were picked up to where he was left, walked it horseback, brought in dogs, went crazy. There was never anything found. No luggage, nothing. Like, they couldn't even find like where he'd, none of this stuff. It still remains unsolved to today. Now, he was officially declared dead in 1897, but there's some theories of what happens. Now, Louis's grandson was talking, and he had actually given out a little bit of some background on Louis, and he said that he believes it was suicide. And he had said that the reason he believed it was suicide was that Louis was on the verge of bankruptcy because of all this stuff, that he had dumped everything he had into it, and it wasn't making, you know, it was before his time, so it's not making him any money.
Yeah.
And the story says that Louis, like I said, that Louis had already arranged his suicide and had managed everything. He knew what he was going to do, and he knew where he was going to go, and he was looking for a window of opportunity to vanish.
Mm.
That's what he was going to do. But nothing was ever found. So he did a great job of the whole deal. But people go on, the historian goes on that was talking to this and wrote some stuff about it, that says Louis's business was actually making good profits. So it's not like he was bankrupt, like the grandson was saying. He did some research.
Then they don't know.
Not for suicide. They said he didn't. They said what the grandson says and what this historian dug in and found was it's two different stories. Unless he was lying on paper and all this stuff, and you know, maybe he had a whole bunch of debt.
The grandson killed him so he could get his inheritance.
Some people even go on to say that he was assassinated because of what he had come up with. That they said that because of some of the patents that he had, that Edison may have had him killed. That was some of the stories, too, because around the time, you know, of all this stuff that he had vanished, it was really wild. Now, his widow, of course, that he had left behind, she believed that it was foul play, that someone for sure had killed him. She didn't believe in the suicide theory at all. None of this stuff. And even the oldest son, the one Adolfo, the one I told you about that was, you know, in part of the whole thing. He actually got involved in litigation with Edison, with this whole thing, going back. Fighting over patents, fighting over things. Sounds like, you know, Thomas Edison wasn't such a good individual, as we found out later on and stuff you read about him. So it's really strange, but it really doesn't seem like there was anything really to lead you to believe that maybe he was murdered, nothing like that. Some people say he disappeared because he was tired of the family. Like, he was just like, I'm done with this. It's not financial. You know, I'm just tired of my family. I'm tired of the whole thing. I'm just going to pack up, pick up, and move away.
I understand that. I'm sometimes.
Done. Yeah. It's even, yeah, right? Yeah. It's gone on so far that some people even came out and said that he fled because he was homosexual and didn't want his family to find out. And everybody's like, but there's no evidence of this. There's no, so it's yet again, like they're trying to stick labels on him to explain away where he could have gone. Some people even throw out the theory that maybe his brother killed him. They say that maybe LaPrince's brother, you know how that stuff goes, that if he wasn't suicidal, that maybe the brother tried to off him because he had a little money invested in some of his stuff. Now, there is a photograph that popped up that people have looked at, and it's in some police archives, and it wasn't discovered until 2003, digging through Paris police archives. And this photograph is from 1890, and in this photograph is a drowning victim that they have laid out, right?
Okay.
And they say it bears an uncanny resemblance to Louis, that they think maybe he did jump off the train and commit suicide in the water, and when they finally found this dead body, it was a while later, and they just didn't get him identified, and he was just some vagrant suicide. And that was it, that Louis really was depressed, things. But either way, he was on a moving train between Dijon and Paris when he vanished again and away from everybody. Luggage gone, everything gone. Makes me always think, we talk about whenever that fella landed with the passport from countries that didn't even exist, and they put him in a hotel room, and then he vanishes.
Yeah. What was that guy's name?
Yeah. Now, there was another one. There's a fella named James Edward Tedford. And also Tedford is what they talk about it too. But he was born in 1884 in Vermont. Now, they dig around and said nothing's really known about him in his younger days and how he grew up and all this stuff. But in 1940, he was a resident in Fletchertown in Franklin, Vermont. And he said, of course, he's there with his young wife, Pearl. Now, she was, get a load of this. When I say young wife in 1940, she's 28 years old, okay?
Okay.
He's 56.
Huh.
Hey now.
Robbing the cradle.
Yeah. Now he did a second stint in the military and at the end of World War II. So he'd gone back into the military and all this. And some stuff started happening really weird. When he comes back from the war, the second run he makes, comes back from the war, Pearl's gone.
And she found her a new man.
She bounced. There's no trace of her. And the property, the house and all the land stuff they had that they were renting there in Fletchertown, was left abandoned. It's not like she just said, hey, I'm leaving the guy, do whatever you want to do with it. It was just completely abandoned. So he comes back, it's gone. So he goes to looking around. He can't find anything. No hide nor hair of this woman, right? The family even claims that they have no knowledge of where she's at. Like, we didn't even know she was gone. You know, just nothing. They said that the last that she was ever seen was heading to an Amco store in Franklin. But nobody saw her again. which makes you start thinking, was she gathered up by some serial killer back in the day in the early 40s? You know, what was going on? Or did, like you said, did she just find her a new fella and run off and that was that? She's tired of the old fella, so she's just bouncing out. Well, you got to imagine, he is really bummed out, okay? He is, so he's in his 50s at this, or he was in his 50s. He's now in his 60s at this time. So in 1947, he is, got no home, depressed. He checks into a soldier's home in Bentington right around that time of 47. Now, on December 1st of 1949, the remaining family of his were going to go visit. He ain't there. They're like, dude, he's missing.
Hmm.
Like, what? And they're like, he's gone. He's vanished. So the police get involved. They're like, wait, here we go again. You know what? You know, you start, all things start popping up at this point. You're like, did he kill his wife? And he just, you know, he played it. What's he doing? Gone. They can find where he boarded a bus in St. Albans a few days earlier, but that he had not arrived on that bus to his destination.
So he got off midway at some point.
At some point in between, they don't really know. Now, he was on his way to the retirement home in Bennington from a trip he had taken to see family up there in St. Albans. So he had gone up and was, this is the story, he's going,
scouting the area out.
Yep, and he's going to, on the way up. Now, the bus trip, it said, should have taken the best part of 8 hours. But, of course, because of heavy snowfall, the bus was delayed. So it passed through the Green Mountain National Forest. And it says this here, in this area, it's known for disappearances during the 1940s in this area.
I wonder if there was a serial killer or something working in that area. Who knows?
You're right. Who knows? Now, he was sitting on the bus, and there was 14 other people on the bus. So all the people on this bus testified that they saw him on the bus.
They said that they saw he was there.
They saw him on the bus. They know he was on the bus, that he was sleeping in his seat, laid over, taking him a nap. And that when it finally reached its destination, he was gone. And the driver and all other witnesses say this. They never saw this, what they called the old man, leave the bus. For all they saw, he was still there. Now, he's seen getting on the bus there in St. Albans by multiple people, right? And then he's, now get it, was still seen on the bus at the last stop right before getting to Bennington. So the stop before the old folks' home where he was living, the soldier's home, he was still on the bus. They saw him. But somewhere between that last stop and the soldier's home, he bounces. He's done. Now, here's what's really wild. On the luggage rack, all of his stuff is still there. All of his stuff is there, and a timetable to all the local bus routes, all the local bus runnings, is laid opened up on his seat.
What the?
So it makes you think, did he have two bags maybe? You know, did he already have one bag stashed somewhere? Because the minute I'm thinking is this. Did he bounce off the area, off of that, leave it there to throw him completely off the trail, walk over, get on another bus, and ride that sucker out of town and leave family, just go do it? Maybe he had a dream he wanted to live, and did he bounce? We don't know. He never returned, and he's never been found. And the odd thing is when I bring up Bennington, nobody reacted. The Bennington Triangle is in this area that he's going through.
Oh, that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
The Hockomock Swamp and all that. Well, now that does make sense.
Now it starts getting wackier, doesn't it?
This is indeed strange. It's unsettling. I wonder what kind of circumstances are unfolding that allows someone to disappear into almost just thin air. Like they just go
gone
into another dimension. Or are they being abducted by something? I'm not talking about Sasquatch. I'm talking about I don't know, some sort of evil entity. Maybe extraterrestrial. I mean, maybe they're invisible. They can sneak up on you, snatch you, pull you into the other side without you knowing about it. I don't know.
My thing is this when it comes to this. I've got you one more here, but this is, now that you bring that up, I always think of this. How often do you, if you're in a group of people, if you're sitting in a restaurant, how often do you really pay attention if you're sitting with somebody else, what those other people are wearing?
Not at all.
You know, what they're eating, what they're doing.
Not at all. And I think it's even worse now than it used to be, like, in many of these stories, because now everybody's on their phone.
Yeah.
It bothers the hell out of me when you look up and everybody is looking at their phone. Yeah. Stop looking at the phone.
I think of it as this way, is, was it like a magic trick? Because how many times have you seen your kids doing something, you look away for what you think is only seconds, but it may have been 3 minutes of you doing something else and look back, and all hell is broken loose over at the corner of the other, especially when you have a toddler.
I'm living it.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
So what if it's like that? What if he really did get up and they didn't pay it any attention, and he just walked right out the door, and it's you're hiding in plain sight? Look at all the people. It's so easy to be able to walk right by certain people at certain times. Like, man, I didn't. How many times have you been in the house with your wife and she's walked up and be like, dude, I didn't even see you come up here?
Well, that's how magicians make their whole living, is misdirection.
Exactly.
They're making things disappear in front of you. You know they're going to do it and they can still do it. Or are these people that are, you know, I'm thinking of like the Jason Bournes who are able to throw off a tail.
Yeah.
You can be following them and they can figure out somehow how to disappear.
And what if that's what it is? Is these guys, maybe he's wanting to disappear.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's nothing, you know, malicious. It's
nothing paranormal.
He just nothing has diabolical.
He's a girl. Yeah, diabolical. There's nothing, nothing sinister. He just has a new girlfriend. And he's maybe just trying to figure out a way to leave his family and get going.
Now, a bus, I can understand, but let me lay this last one on you.
Okay.
1968, June 29th, Purdue Aviation Corporation charter flight. All right.
Uh-huh.
From Kankakee, Illinois, to a National Lions Club convention in the heart of Texas, Dallas. All
okay,
right?
Yep.
23 passengers on board. Clear summer day, not a cloud in the sky. Now, this is over Rolla, Missouri, is where this was at. Somewhere in air over this. There's a fella named Gerald Potter. Now, Gerald decides he needs to go to the little boy's room, okay?
Okay.
Gets up. He's like, hey, pardon me. I need to stroll back in here. Strolls back into the bathroom, which is in the rear of the plane, of course. Now, Gerald,
that blue water in there and everything.
Yeah, I don't know if it was it blue in 1968. They may not have had the blue water in 68. I don't know. Maybe they did.
I know you could smoke in there in 1968.
Yeah, you didn't have to go to the bathroom. You just sat there and smoke. Gerald is accompanied on this trip by his lovely wife, Miss Potter. So Mrs. Potter says she watches her husband walk down the aisle. As he's going down the aisle, he stops and he talks to the president of the Lions Club in Ottawa, Illinois, named James Shave. And she says that she turns, she looks out the window because she's looking out, no clouds, it's beautiful. She can see the ground, no biggie, okay?
Yeah.
So she'd watched her husband walk down that thing. She goes, after a few minutes, she said she felt the plane shudder, in her words, shudder for a few seconds, like they hit a little bit of turbulence.
Yeah.
All right? Nobody paid any attention to it. So she's sitting there. And then she realizes it's been quite some time, and Gerald hasn't come out of the bathroom. So she's like, waiting. So she starts getting concerned at this point. So she flags down a flight attendant. I'm going to call them flight attendants, not stewardesses. You don't call them stewardesses, they're flight attendants. My niece will make sure to tell you that. And she says, hey, look, would y'all please go check in the bathroom for my husband? He's been in there a while.
Right.
Around this time, the pilot named Miguel Cabeza notices this. He says he notices that one of the door open warning lights on the plane is flashing. So he turns to his co-pilot, Roy, and he says, Roy, get your ass back there.
He pulled the DB Cooper.
What is going on? Well, Roy, of course, you know, he don't want to just be like, oh, God, and goes running down through the aisle. So he just pimp strolls down the aisle, right?
Roy Mercer, right?
Roy Bacchus. Yeah, Roy D. Mercer. How big a boy are you? So as he walks down there, real calm, real cool, real collected, he just strolls down there in the center. While he's on the way, the flight attendant that Miss Potter had flagged down says, hey, we have a missing passenger. Well, Roy's like, uh-oh. So he starts looking around. Well, he finds that the exit door near the bathroom, okay, of the plane?
Yeah.
Was slightly open. The same door that the flashing light was warning him of.
Right.
Okay. Now, the DC-3 wasn't pressurized, what they're flying on. So I'm assuming they're not getting super hot, right?
Okay.
So the cracked door hadn't caused any problems whatsoever. And Roy found that the chain that they had, so I'm guessing like an old school, like apartment chain, yeah, right? Was actually, it was used, was lying on the ground, what it used to keep it closed. The chain's on the ground at this point. So he walks back up to the captain, and he's like, hey. Roy's a little shook up at this point. He's like, I'm thinking maybe, this is what he says, this is what he's guessing. He goes, I think old Potter maybe fell against the door, and the chain broke when he stumbled and fell against it, maybe in some of that turbulence, and he bloop, fell out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Later on in the report, though, they found this. the chain, of course, just because the chain had been broken, it says that this is the difference. You would still have to grab the handle and rotate it 180 degrees to get that door to open. So just because it was slightly ajar and the chain was broke, you still have to open the thing up. And this door handle, they said, was a little bit harder to move than any of these other ones. And it would have been even harder with the airspeed pressing on the outside of that door.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To get it open. No one had seen Gerald fall out. No one did hear. They didn't hear a scream. They didn't hear any noise. Nothing. One of the persons on the flight was even quoted at saying that, just like you talked about, but he was quoted saying it was like he just vanished. That one minute he was in his seat, the next minute he's gone. So the first thing that pops up, did he commit suicide? Well, all the family, they're like, no. All accounts, they said that he was leading a very comfortable life. So he's an older fella. He's got money. He's happy. He's really, you know, with everything. So they said after making this discovery, when Roy goes, hey, look, we got to see this chain, the captain picks up the radio and he's like, hey, we got to land this plane. Something bad just went down. We don't know what's going on. So they bring her on in Springfield, Missouri now, right?
Okay.
Not even close to Dallas. They set her down. They make a full search of the plane looking for Roy. Then they plot the flight
path. Start looking for a body.
And they start going looking for the body. Nobody was ever found. Nothing. There was no clues. They don't anybody know what might have happened. And there's, of course, you go through. They have no idea. No idea where Roy, they've searched these woods several times for like a couple of years. People go back up through there looking, could not find Roy anywhere.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense.
But that story is off the chain. So that, yeah, kudos to you. Right? That's a good one.
It's one of those things like, if it's not a pressurized cabin, you were still going to hear the sound.
Somebody in the back, in the final back row would notice if somebody fell in the...
Yeah.
And it slammed shut. I mean, you would know.
Wouldn't it? I don't know, but I picture it like an old, like a storm door and a storm... Bum, 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 banging on the side of the plane.
That's me. You're sitting back there reading your newspaper and then you just keep hearing... from the tablets because...
Yeah.
Hey, man, I think the door's... I mean, that would cause alarm. The door's open on an airplane.
When it caused alarm on for you... But see, that's the thing is when you're flying in those Cessnas and they open them up to skydive out of, it's no big deal.
I don't know. I've never been on a plane where that's happened.
I think it's only a big deal whenever it's pressurized, because that's when shit's like... You're blowing around, you're like, holy shit! Yeah, you're just freaking.
Somebody's wig gets jerked off. Yeah, man, you'd know.
Those bags with oxygen fall down over your face, and you can't smell everybody shit in their pants. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what would happen.
Man.
Yeah, so I don't know. He's gone. It's one of those things. A lot of these, of course... Do they vanish into thin air? Because a lot of these stories seem like there's just enough to make you think maybe these guys did it to themselves, right? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe they offed themselves. Let me ask you this, though, on the Gerald story, the Potter story. If you were super, how would you make the mistake of coming out of the bathroom, opening the door, even in turbulence, how would you fall against the door, get it open, and then just throw yourself out of the plane and not make a sound, and the door go back?
No.
It's not like he said the door was open. He said it was just a little bit like a jar, like you would see it look like it had popped open. Couldn't that have happened whenever the plane shifted? Like if it hit some rough turbulence, it could have broke a chain, right? You got to think like a torque.
Yeah, but how would it rotate the doorknob?
What I'm saying is maybe he didn't fall out. It goes back into what you're talking about. Maybe he vanished into thin air. I don't know, but either way, it makes me think... Don't go to the bathrooms. Every place you go to the bathroom. Dude went to his bathroom, come back out, his buddy was gone. You know, you go to the people in the bathroom on the train, people are missing. You go on a plane, just go in your pants, folks. Save yourself. Take a little bit of the shame, but keep yourself alive.
Come prepared. Get some Depends or something before you travel.
A catheter.
There you go. That'll work.
I'm down with that. I'm just going to sit in my own
field. Why are those commercials always on late at night? I don't understand. Every night at about 11 p.m., you start getting these damn catheter commercials.
What shows are you watching? I am not seeing any of that. So
I like to watch the Polka Show. I like to watch the Horse and Ranch channel.
Matlock?
I'm just kidding.
Watch a little Matlock, a little Perry Mason, a little Ironsides. What, he been hanging out with my grandparents?
Hogan's Heroes.
That dude was a deviant himself, too. That's weird to do a story on him.
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
I don't know. I forgot his name, but he was a sexual deviant.
In the worst way.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, that's awesome, man. Well, let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I like the missing stories, the strange disappearances. I don't know why. I get drawn in. I like watching unsolved mysteries. I like watching shows like that with these missing people. The older I get, I find myself watching more 2020 and Dateline and stuff, these shows. You know,
turned into your grandfather.
Turning into my grandfather. I like to watch these missing people and things like that. I don't know. Very interesting, very spooky, very scary. Probably not as scary as threatening evil mermaids, threatening to not save children out of a river or the ocean or bay or wherever that is. It's somewhere, the St. Vincent Islands is by Grenada, by Barbados, and it looks like a beautiful part of the world, but I'm definitely not going there.
Yeah, I don't need to go down there for anything. Look, the missing people is fascinating because we spend so much time, and everybody, you know, everyone that spends a lot of time in the outdoors can relate to it. Has had creepy things happen and strange and unusual things happen. But the idea of just going completely missing without any trace is still hard, even at this. And I know it happens. It happens all the time. But it's just still kind of hard to wrap your mind around it in 2024 that you could just go boom and just vanish with as much information as flying around us at all times that you could still just, just evaporate.
It's kind of scary when you go back just like 30, 40 years, how easy it must have been to be a serial killer, to abduct people compared to nowadays. I mean, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And with the cell phones and the, I'm sure they have satellites in the sky. I watched I listened to a podcast years ago on Radiolab about this satellite that they were using, and they called it the Eye in the Sky. And what they could do is there would be like a bank robbery.
Okay.
And they could, even if this happened 2 or 3 days ago, that thing is up in the sky. It's filming everything. All over the city, like the town of, say, of Weatherford, where we live, they were able to find that bank. They could rewind the footage when that bank robbery happened, and then they would watch where the car went.
Man.
And they went to a house, they sent the cops, and they caught the people. So, I mean, if that's what they're releasing on a podcast, you just have to know that there's something watching all the time. Now, they might not be an individual looking at it, but they can retrieve that information. I believe it was called Eye in the Sky. It was on Radiolab, if you guys ever listen to Radiolab.
Pretty cool. Big Brother's watching.
Definitely.
Always watching.
Definitely is. Speaking of watching, you said you had some crazy story.
I got something about somebody watching. I always feel like.
Rockwell. Isn't that who sings that?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Michael Jackson. Yeah.
Get a load of this. Creepy human-faced quadruped was watching me. From the backyard.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Who's not?
Oh, here we go. It says, when I was a teen, I slept in a bedroom. We all did. In a bedroom with a window overlooking my backyard.
Not
with
everybody
the woods
did.
Directly Kim. Behind it. My bed was positioned right next to the window so that when I sat up in bed, I would look to my left right out the window. I had blinds on that window, but I would always leave open. And my dad would always tell me and yell at me to leave the blinds closed so no one looks in on you. But who was going to look in on us from our backyard? So one night, I woke up out of a deep sleep with a strange feeling like someone's watching me. My blinds were 3/4 of the way down, and I remember the moon was illuminating some of the yard. So I sat up in my bed and felt very, very scared. I was never one to get scared or wake up in the middle of the night, and I didn't really have to go to the bathroom or feel sick, so no reason I would have woken up. But I had a really strong feeling to look outside. So I remember I lifted up the blinds a little further, and then I was paralyzed with fear. In my yard, I could see clearly an animal-like creature. This was before I used the internet or even knew anything about these creatures or creatures in general, but I knew 100% that this wasn't an animal. It was massive, and it was also so dark. It was the darkest black. It looked unnatural.
Venta black.
That's right. The creature was not moving, just standing creepily. I don't know how you stand creepily.
Yeah,
probably
you do.
Probably the way Kyle stands.
That's why you stand all the time. That's right. Just to say.
I had 4 legs.
Is that Cam looking in my window?
I had.
You know how creepy that would be if I was sleeping at night and I looked and you were outside my window?
Just giving you this number? Just Look at him.
Hey. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that now.
Please don't.
No, I'm afraid you'll shoot at me. It had four legs, small pointy ears, and a face kind of human, but not human.
That's kind of like you.
I have a fat head, short bowed legs, and a face that looks unhuman. It wasn't looking towards the woods or directly at me. But I felt like this thing knew I saw it, and it immediately laid down, or I laid down, and I didn't want to ever see this thing again. When I lay my head down, my head wasn't directly next to the window. It was closer to my legs, the window was, so I had to sit up again to pull the blinds all the way down. So when I sat back up, of course, I couldn't help but look outside, and the creature had moved closer to the window. It was sitting or standing in the same position as before, but its head was facing me this time. And I put the blinds down, laid down so fast with the covers over me, and eventually fell asleep after the adrenaline wore off. Now, the strange thing is, after this encounter, I almost wanted to see the creature again. Every time I woke up after that night, I would peek through the blinds to see if anything was lurking near the woods. And I asked my sisters if they had ever seen anything like that, and they both said no. They would never look outside at night, though. The woods aren't there anymore. They built a train track going through our backyard, so who knows what it was or where it ended up. And just for the record, this was in New England. Thanks, CT.
Wow.
So, a human face, it sounds like Sasquatch, right?
Something.
Like some sort of Sasquatch showed up in the backyard there.
Yeah.
Well, again, and it's like what you touched on, why is it... It's like they know automatically when you look at them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever these things are, like you could be looking, and we've had them, and we've reported on them where people have talked about it 200 or 300 yards, 400 yards away through binoculars, glassing, seeing something like that, and it just stop and just turn and looks right at you. Like it just knows it. That, again, makes me feel like it's on a different level, like it senses or knows things, just like we talked about with the little people, whatnot like that. But anyway, I don't like the idea of anything moving closer, right? Like it's always, I'm not looking, and then you look back, and now it's 20 foot closer looking at you.
Yeah. Well, see, like, and I often think about this when it comes to extraterrestrials, like the grays and things.
Yeah.
We always picture them as coming from another planet, another galaxy. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're here. They're just in a parallel universe, and they're able to come across the veil anytime they want to. Somehow we haven't figured out that technology.
Well, and
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I always find it amusing. And I didn't when I was younger, but as I've gotten older, you know, and more into this and all this, it's hilarious that there's so many movies that involved extraterrestrials. Like you think about all the Guardians of the Galaxies, you think about any Star Trek, all
Dune.
Of
Dune.
All of them, right? All of them. But yet we're all humanoid.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. You're telling me we would all be, there wouldn't be like a slug person. Like, we've played enough D&D
Did we do a slug person?
Yeah, did a 2-foot slug man come crawling out, bro?
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
slug people, all of this. But the idea to me that it's humanoid, it almost feels like we're being kind of positioned into the way.
We're thinking of the way we think it would
exactly.
go. But you don't know the way it would
but
go.
We don't know. I mean, I always think it would be more insect-like.
Yeah, like the xenomorphs.
Yeah.
Speaking of xenomorphs, and you and Luke just went and saw the new Alien Romulus.
Yes, we did.
Opening day. Luke was pumped. Little Fizzy. I know everybody on YouTube hasn't seen Little Fizzy in a while.
He's got to make his debut. He's coming back.
I'm bringing
Little Fizzy back.
He's grown quite a bit now. He's 12 now.
And his hair shows it too, y'all. This dude.
He's got
all of your hair.
He looks like the dude off Dazed and Confused.
What's the character's name? Oh,
man,
I'm trying to think.
I will just make it real
easy for y'all. You know the dude that always wore like the floppy hat, looked like a long-haired stoner?
Yeah.
That's Lil Fizzy.
That's what he looks like.
100%. He looks just like that guy.
Yeah.
You'll see.
He's grown quite a bit in the last couple
months. We're going to bring him up. We'll pop him on YouTube soon.
Yeah. Well, he was super bummed when Squatchella got canceled because he was wanting to go there and walk out with us and stuff and meet some people. But it's not been canceled. It's been postponed. I think that Nate and the guys are going to put something together for 2025. So we'll have more on that when we find out.
But the movie was good.
The movie was great.
Hey,
the movie
was really good. I liked it.
If you like the Alien series, it's one of the better ones, actually. I didn't really like the one with Winona Ryder and What was the name of that one? Covenant? Was it Covenant?
No. That was Resurrection.
Maybe it was Resurrection.
That was Alien Resurrection.
I didn't really like that one that much.
It was Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection.
Then what's the one when they're in the prison?
That's Alien 3. I don't know that it has a name, just like Alien 3. I don't. If it does, I have no idea. And then it was Prometheus and then Covenant.
Yeah, right. Prometheus is, I like to split that movie in half.
Versus Predators,
the first part of Prometheus was awesome, like when they're finding the cave art and stuff.
100%.
Second part, really, really confusing. You have to watch it a couple times. I'm sorry, folks. I'm dumb. So I had to watch it more than once to figure out what the heck was going on.
I will say this.
It was a good show. If you want to get Alien Romulus, I recommend it.
Alien is nothing more than a slasher film in space.
Sure.
That's right. All it is. And if you are down for some slasher film in space and a little like tension, well, a lot of tension, pretty much from start to end, You're gonna like Romulus.
I like how in this movie the acid blood made the most sense, like how much damage it would do.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And I think it was really good, except there was one CGI part.
One CGI part. I'm not gonna ruin it for anybody. There's one CGI part in there that you're not gonna enjoy.
That I think if they would have done it and filmed it differently, it would have been perfect.
If they would have just used actual
props,
it would have been so much better. You'll know exactly what it is if y'all see it, and if you've already seen it, you know exactly which one it is.
Speaking of props, I got to give big props to Nicky Rod.
Heyo, millionaire baby!
It was an excellent jiu-jitsu match.
Dude, they was great jiu-jitsu. Craig Jones Invitational amazing.
And the ADCC, but I think I like the Craig Jones better.
I'm gonna have to agree.
And instead of taking the money and running, Nicky Rod took the money and put it up to challenge Gordon.
So
he couldn't have done anything better. Because I was texting you while I was watching.
While it was going down.
And I'm like, if I was him, I would challenge Gordon because, you know, everybody has their day. Everybody. And I think Gordon's day may have already came and went.
I saw something funny, and it's nothing to laugh at, but they said that God's strongest warriors have upset tummies. And if y'all know anything about jiu-jitsu and Gordon Ryan, you've seen that written down. I'm like, man, that's mean, but it's funny.
I would have been really good at jiu-jitsu, but my belly is always upset. I don't know if you know that. That was my problem. That's what was holding me back.
I would have been great at jiu-jitsu, but I'm me. So, not going
to
happen.
We went to dinner with my wife, her sister, and some of her cousins. And one of their friends, they introduced me. And they were asking if I speak any other languages. And I said, well, I speak English fluently. I know most Spanish, but I can write in 36 languages, read and write in 36 languages. And they're like, what do you mean you can read and write in 36 languages? And I said, well, we were at a Japanese restaurant. I took the Japanese chopsticks, had Japanese writing on it. I looked at it, and then I copied all those letters. And I said, look, I just read it. And I just wrote in Japanese. I didn't say I knew what it said.
I have no idea what it
said. I can do that with 35 other languages.
That's right.
Right? I think you could too. So if you want to impress your friends, tell them that you're fluent in whatever language you speak and then say you could read and write in like 20 other languages.
Yeah, I can't tell you what it says, but I can read the little,
Yeah, you can read it, right? If you're looking at it, you're reading it.
Yeah.
And if you can write it down.
That's a gift I wished I had. Man, I wish I could speak multiple languages.
You ever get drawn in?
I mean like really speak them.
You ever get drawn in watching the videos of people on YouTube and stuff and like these foreigners are talking about them and they're like, then they bust out their native
language. When like little pudgy white guys like me are speaking Cantonese and Mandarin, I watch it.
Well, if things don't get...
the looks on their faces is priceless when they start, like, wait, what? Because I know they've got to be talking smack about me.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I know they're talking.
Of course. Well, of course.
Of course.
I've been in elevators before and heard people speaking in Spanish about me. And I know enough Spanish where I know what they're saying. You know what I'm saying?
I speak that way to you in English.
Yeah, but that's what friends do.
Whoa.
Right? Friends. School has started. How's KK's job going?
She loves school it. Teacher. She loves moved her school districts. Yeah, she's enjoying everything.
And grade level too. Yep. So that's probably easier than the grade level she's teaching before.
She's got fourth grade. She has three classes that come in and out. You know, she has a homeroom and two other classes. She loves it. She's having a great time.
We're about 2 weeks away from college football starting.
Can't wait.
So that's going to be fun.
Can't wait.
We're only about
there's going to be tears in Fort Bend.
8 weeks away from deer season. So things are moving up. Man, it is so hot though. It's hard
I don't
to practice.
Think about
we need
right
an
now.
Air-conditioned range is what we need, a private air-conditioned range.
I need an indoor archery range.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be real long. I can't shoot real far.
All right, let's not forget about our sponsors. We've partnered with AG1 so long because they make such a high-quality product.
Facts.
That we genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drink.ag1.com/ expanded. That's drinkag1.com/expanded. Check it out. If you have any cool stories you'd like to share with me and Cam and the listeners, do not hesitate. You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
I don't know. Doing whatever I'm told to do, and hopefully it's inside.
There you go. There you go.
Hopefully it's all in the air conditioning. I don't know what's going to last, but hopefully.
All right. Well, I just got work, folks. So. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, that's about all the time we have on this show. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.